You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. And now, here's Drew and his trusty sidekick, Pierre, because my bladder's empty. Flash of faith between wonder and belief. Do you see those selfish wolves
trying to keep you in their teeth? Well, folks, it's time for Live and the Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music. This week's recording artist is this man, Peter Tigelaar. The time he'd reached his teen years, the music of the Beatles, Bach, and Handel. Handel? No, it's Handel. Remember, that's what I learned it from Radar, from MASH. Ah, Bach. Remember that scene? Anyway. Bob Dylan, choral singing were significant influences. Peter's signature style includes thoughtful lyrics set to engaging arrangements shaped by his diverse melodic influences. Whether they soothe the soul or challenge the heart and mind, these are songs that appeal on many levels and reward careful listening. His music is a complex mixture of genres reflecting the many influences he loves. His clear, strong tenor voice is a distinctive feature of his melodic approach to songwriting. Rock, blues, gospel, choral, reggae, they're all alive in his electric tunes, played passionately on guitar, mandolin, ukulele, hammer tone. Anyway, listen.
From the sacred harps among the exiles come sounds of a rising hope. Where once they were feeling so all alone on the dark side of the road. From east to west, the thunder is drumming, a voice rolling on and on. And the dreams that come are more like lightning than a slow unfolding dawn. Falling from a deeper sky than any we've ever flown. A flow of joy more deep than
well, it really has become, I guess, favorite part of the show for me. I count it a privilege to have some incredible musicians join us in studio and perform live on the show. I think over the years of a buddy of mine named Martin Joseph from Wales and another fella, friend of mine from Australia named Tommy Emmanuel. And today it's Peter Tigelaar. But Peter, you've got... got some other dude here, and I'm not quite sure who this guy is.
Well, we look a bit alike, right? He's a younger
version. Little bit.
Yeah, yeah, this is my son Andrew's playing a J45 today.
Nice. Yeah. How long have you had the Gibson for?
I haven't had it that long. I had a Gibson years ago, but anyway, that one I've had, that's a real honey. I've had it for about 5 years.
How many children do you have?
I have three children.
Andrew's one of each.
The middle one.
No, just are they all musical?
Yeah, they're all quite musical in different ways.
Because I've seen videos of you performing on stage, and you've got young people backing you. Is that your family? Like, are you like the Partridge Family, or what's going
on
here?
No, I just like collaborating with people, and it often happens to be young, talented people that I'd like to encourage and mentor, so that's
right.
Part of what I do.
Yeah. I first found out about you through Mr. Franklin, John Franklin, who's involved with Imago,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you've got to get this guy on your show. And John is a great judge of musical talent. So kudos to you for being flagged like that, and I'm stoked that you're here. What I'm bugged at, though, is the fact that, Peter, you are, I don't think, a great self-promoter. The world needs to know about you, man.
Oh, thank you.
You're so Canadian. Right, Tim? How many Canadian musicians do we have come through here, and they just suck at promoting themselves, but the talent is at the wazoo?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're working on it.
See, that's what I'm talking about. What I want to know is this a full-time thing for you, or do you have a real life and a real job, and you do this part-time?
I think I've come to a place in my life. I own my own business, looking after indoor plants, business that's called Urban Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to a place of just seeing Urban Green as more than just plant caretaking, there's some. I have a byline for my business is cultivating interior gardens. So whether that's looking after plants indoors, which we do, mm-hmm. or encouraging people with their musical gifts, or writing songs to light the way, as I like to call them, on one of my previous records. There's something about the garden imagery and green and urban green, which is the name of my business, that has a more metaphorical.
So are you a hippie?
No, I'm not really a hippie.
I'm looking at your son because, you know, hippies are now back in, right? The uh-huh. hippies are cool again. Dude, you are, this is my impression, you are in love with the creator and the created.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I think you are.
Yeah, that hits a nail on the head that works for me.
Okay. All right. Let's jump into a song right off the bat because okay. We could talk all day, but I want to get people to get a little vibe of what. Now you got a little ukulele going here. Is that what we're going to call? Is it a ukulele?
It's a ukulele, tenor ukulele.
Okay.
And Andrew's playing the J45 as a bass guitar, which we actually did on our previous record called Wings Meeting Wind. It's all ukulele tunes. And
nice.
Half of them we dialed up a nice tone on the J45.
Beautiful.
So
beautiful. All right, what's this song?
This song is called When You Recover.
Peter Tigelaar and the Drew Marshall Show. beautiful stuff, man. Really, really well done. There are very few people that can make a ukulele do that. There's a guy that we've become friends with over the years named Michael Bennett. And if you've not joined his ukulele night, you need to. As a matter of fact, you and I spoke the other day, and I can just see you working with Ken Whiteley in a heartbeat. My goodness.
I would love to work with Ken Whiteley, man. Get me going.
Yeah.
I've been a long-time fan of his.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Ken's been on the show a number of times. And you know, you and Ken have – I want to – this is a bit of a strange conversation to have, considering we don't really know each other that well. But both you and Ken have –
White hair.
Yeah, that's not what I was going to say.
It's better than your haircut,
yeah, yeah.
Jim. Oh,
wait,
I like your haircut.
Wait a minute. Don't you guys know each other from back in the day or something?
Yeah, we do. From Northern Praise days.
Oh, my goodness.
Ghost Town.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at, though, is you both have a real sparkle about you. You both have a light, an effervescence, you know. But where does that come from? Have you always been weird?
I don't know. What do you think, Andrew? Andrew doesn't have a mic.
No, so. But you stand out. You know, everybody stands out for certain reasons. You stand out because you have a vibe, right? You've got a whole energy thing going. What the heck?
Well, I guess it's life, LIFE, and the light of life. I mean, the two go together, and I guess recently I've part of what develops what that sparkle is. One of the things I should let you know about. That I'm excited about. Last November, I became a Benedictine oblate. I was received at a monastery down in upstate New York.
Yeah. And Tim has just become your biggest fan.
Oh, all right. Well, that's cool. And a big part of being an oblate is chanting the Psalms. And it's the discipline of the office, the offices they call these prayer offices, day to day. I cycle through 7, 8, 10, 12 Psalms a day. That's why I always have the ukulele in my hand. It's I've taken on the oblate name of Brother David Peter, which is what everybody from the Pope down to the lowliest monk takes on a new name when they've been received as an oblate. And so my oblate name is David Peter after David in the Psalms. So, and there's something, I don't know, Tim can tell you this about music. When you engage with music and when you're dealing with life type of matters, I think it's bound to have some sparkle and effervescence coming out of one's life.
So did you just tell me you became a monk?
I am a monk of sorts. If those are familiar with the Franciscan order, there's something called the Third Order Franciscans. There are people who are allowed to marry and live in the community. Similarly, there's through being a fan of Kathleen Norris, an author I've tracked with for a number of years.
And Chuck's wife.
Not Chuck Norris's wife. No, he's a different Norris. Okay. Anyway, she's a poet, a woman, a Presbyterian, and a Benedictine oblate. And I thought, how'd she do this? Mm. So that started my journey into this, realizing that I'm Christian Reformed. I have a lot of proclivity towards things contemplative and things that are, you know, that the Benedictines stand for, not least of which is a really dynamic day-to-day engagement with the Psalms, which
so can you give us an example of what you would do with the Psalms?
You want me to sing
one
for you?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face? How long must I bear grief in my soul, this sorrow in my heart, day and night? How long shall my enemy prevail? Look at me, answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I fall asleep in death, lest my enemies say, I have overcome her, lest my foes rejoice to see my fall. As for me, I trust in your merciful love. Let my heart rejoice in your saving help. Let me sing to the Lord for his goodness to me, singing psalms to the name of the Lord Most High. singing praise to the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and for ages unending. Amen.
What's that do for you?
It's a whole bunch of things. It's an antidepressant. It gives vent to lament. There's a rhyme I didn't intend. Maybe I'm a rap artist after all. Vent to lament. A sense of
with
God.
With no intent.
With no intent. And on it could go forever. The opening lines of that song, how long will you forget me? You're accusing the Lord of the universe of forgetting you. Mm-hmm. And God can take it. And he says, the psalmist goes on to say, how long must I bear this grief in my soul, this sorrow in my heart day and night? And it's been a theme for me in this record we've been working on, a record called Better Things, which we hope to have out in September. It's mostly in the can. We're doing some mixing this summer. And one of the themes in that record is about sorrow in people's heart day after day. And I think that'll reflect, and there's a couple songs we'll be sharing that reflect that. So,
when you were playing that, I took a look over at your son, Andrew, who had his eyes closed and he was kind of grooving with it. And that struck me because, Andrew, you're under 25. Are you? How old are you?
25.
Oh, you're 25. Okay. All right. So same age as my son. And so I kind of, I honestly don't know of many under the age of 40 who would shut up enough, shut their eyes, and soul in to what you were doing there. And here your son was doing that. So I don't really know what my point is behind that, other than that's an anomaly as far as I'm concerned with for any younger person. I sound like I'm 80 here, but for any young person to kind of sit down and meditate along with you on that, groove with you on that, it's just a rare thing. So I'm going to swing this mic over to Andrew just for a second here, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, Andrew, putting you on the spot here. You strike me as the kind of guy who doesn't want to be on the spot, but I'm doing it anyway.
That's quite all right.
Why are you into this?
For me, it's interesting looking at the song structure and the way that he plays these, because he has a whole variety of them that he does on the ukulele, some of them on the keyboard, different instruments, because he always has a different instrument in hand, but he sort of takes the psalm and puts his own structure to it. And sometimes, like if I play with him at a church service or if we're doing some event or another, we'll play some of these songs. I think I have actually played that specific one with him, and so I don't know offhand what
that's
he's
on
playing.
The record, and Andrew puts a bass part on it.
Yeah,
he's playing offhand, but I can sort of picture he took that and he put a song structure to it, and it's not uniform, it's not even, but it's interesting to me the way that he has strung together the chords.
Okay, but hold on. When your eyes were closed and you were kind of, moving back and forth, like your head was just nodding a wee bit, like you were into the tune, you weren't sitting there going, ooh, structure, right?
To some extent, I actually was, because he didn't take, say, four chords and play four chords, four chords, four chords, and then switch to another figure and play four chords. He goes to an unpredictable chord at the end of each of those lines, it gives it a lot of interest for a listener, and you're never, it's nothing predictable.
If you were to listen to something right now, just, it's time to unplug and just get some tunes cranked, what would it be?
Right now. The last thing I listened to when I closed my computer today had been a Bon Iver album, Bon Iver's self-titled album. And another album that I've been listening to a whole lot recently is James Blake's Overgrown album.
Okay.
So those are a couple
Tell them
things.
About your Father's Day tradition.
So starting probably 5 years ago now, I think the year after Radiohead's In Rainbows album came out, I gave it to him for Father's Day, and not with any idea what the result might be. He might have hated it. It might have been a great breakthrough in his musical collection. But he ended up loving it. And then every year since then, for Father's Day, I get him an album, which it's not like a guarantee. I don't pick an album like, oh, this is one that my dad's going to like. I take something from my collection that's been like my favorite album of the last year, or favorite album that I think that he could identify with. So pick one of a few. So James Blake was the one just this past month that I gave him for Father's Day.
Cool. Very cool. Well, I mean, my son and I have a very cool relationship as well, and I love whatever the heck is going on here.
We play together, which is what I want to do now.
Yeah, yeah,
let's
all right.
Play another song.
Yeah, let's do it. Enough talking, right?
Yeah, enough blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's do a tune.
Here's a tune off my previous record. It's called Wings Meeting Wind. Oh, no, it's not. That's my first record. What's it called again? More Like Lightning.
That's the other reason to have your son with you.
Yeah, right. Remind me of my record title. So the new one's going to be my fourth record. But the third one was all songs inspired on the ukulele. And this is a song from it. It's called All Over, and it's kind of it makes up for the lack of reggae ukulele songs out in the in
it's
the
a genre. Serious lack.
The serious deep lack.
Yeah,
All Over sort of addresses that lack, and here it goes.
Folks, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Peter Tigelaar.
Tsunami, another ruined kingdom lies in the breaking pangs of the later chapters. Our castles are surrounded, surrender may be wise. Waking to find we got it backwards. Through day-to-day delusions of ego needing control, surrounded by delusions at every turn, we're losing the battle. The numinous is on a roll. It's all over. It's all over. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to flee. Your glory's all over as the waters cover the sea. It's a glory coming to ruin us, and our agenda's to interrupt. An inundation sweeping egos from their thrones, succumbing to the numinous. It's clear our numbers are. It's all over. It's all over. Let go now. It's all over. Now you will hear There's a natural mystic flowing through the air. Such a natural mystic flowing through the air. Such a natural mystic flowing through the air.
Peter Tigelaar on the Drew Marshall Show. The way you spell his last name will get you to his website. The last name is spelled T-I-G-C-H-E-L-A-A-R. If you don't know how to spell Peter, you probably shouldn't listen to his music. That was fantastic. You drew me into that song big time. I mean, I was right, Tim? Tim and I looked at each other a couple times and went, oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. When I was listening to you sing there and that tenor voice of yours, Peter, and I was kind of looking at your style and the way you look and the whole thing. Tim, I don't know if you're with me on this.
Bruce Coburn. See, when I first met him, his look, his style, that's what I was thinking. But let me hear you.
John Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
John Anderson, I don't know if you know who that is, but he's the lead singer of Yes. And we had him on the show a little while ago. And even just the way you put your lyrics together, the way you pull apart life, that tenor voice, a bit of your look. And you, I think you would have really dug his concert. He's a very interesting, esoteric
Very interesting dude. That you should mention that. I was just listening to the James Blake record I got from Andrew this morning. And he's a Brit. And something of his vocals, I didn't share this with you as we were dissecting the record, reminded me of Stevie Winwood, Yes. Mm-hmm. I had Yes pop into my head, the lead singer for the Yes, in terms of some poetic nuance and articulation and stuff of unusual lyrics. I mean,
that's you.
I guess I should.
Right? That's Dad. Is that not Dad?
That's definitely
Dad, yeah. Who do you listen to?
When I'm making records, I don't like to listen to anything.
No, let's say you're not making records.
Well, I listen to James Blake because it's my Father's Day present. What do I put on when I do put something on? Oh, you know what I got into lately? This is sort of apropos to Andrew and I playing together. Andrew also introduced me, not by a record, but to somebody he likes, Come on.
Feel the noise, girls.
Ben Harper.
Oh.
And Ben Harper's made a record with his mom.
Really?
Yeah, it's a kind of a country record with deadly lyrics and just, it's so simple.
Wait,
so
should designed. I know who his mom is, or is his mom just his mom?
His mom has had a huge influence on him. Okay. And just the fact that he would go into the studio, make a record. Yeah. And it's kind of a home studio. It's really a bare bones record. I've been listening to that lately as an inspiration for some backing vocals that my wife's been doing on our record. Andrew's playing bass on my record, too. So the family thing is part of it. So Ben Harper.
There you go.
Other than that, who else have I been? I guess going back a ways, one of my favorite records, new Canadian record over the last couple of years, is Feist. I'm just nuts about Feist.
Right.
As a performer and her lyrics, very, off the beaten track lyrics. And she played at the Harvest Picnic in Hamilton a couple summers ago. And just she's just her presence on stage, but more as a songwriter. I admire really unique and different songwriters. So there's.
Do you ever get into Larry Norman?
Not a big deal. In fact, I knew who he was. And,
wow.
Yeah.
You're gonna diss Norman?
I'm not gonna diss him. He didn't catch
he didn't
on.
Do it
me.
For you. Yeah.
I've seen him.
You know what's
times.
Catching on for me? What? You. Let's do another song.
Okay. Well, this is an intense song. Let's get an intense song out of the way. This song comes out of Oakville. And it's actually a poem written by a friend of mine that I set the music. And it's a late addition to this record because it fit in thematically. And this happened in Oakville. This was written in Oakville, this poem, and what happened in Oakville. Well, it's a pretty bizarre and awful trauma, which we don't need to talk about in the air. We can maybe talk about where this came from off the air. But this is my friend James Tugan's poem and a song that evolved out of it called White Grace Trembling.
Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Peter Tigelaar.
I'm returning to the simple. The simple comforts of the pure.
the feather light filaments of white grace trembling in the wind of the spirit moving down our street, moving door to door, moving past tired paving stones, weeds entrenched in my boulevard, and the stone ghost echoes of my son's skateboard rattling back to haunt me, rolling down our street, rolling door to door. You're the only consolation I know. Oh, Jesus, you're the only consolation I know. There are flowers on our table. Warm arms about us, lifting the burdens of our pain, and also his. Especially his, surfacing in his pool of secrets, hidden enemies bent on his drowning, stealing under our street, stealing door to door. These are the waves of our questions. These are the waves of our tears, in spite of the wounds of your confusion and rage. I remember your dancing, I still hear you flying. It's silenced now by the echoes roaring up our street, roaring door to door. You're the only consolation I know. Oh, Jesus, you're the only consolation I know. The only consolation I know. The only consolation I know. Starboard bow, resting, forgiven and clear, known and knowing over the depths of his love. You both are gliding up the street, gliding door to door, gliding up our street, door to door. The only consolation I know. The only consolation I know. Consolation I know.
Peter Tigelar on the Drew Marshall Show. That is beautiful stuff. This is where my head went when I was listening to that song. You leading a monastic retreat at Iona with this music. Dude, I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Definitely Benedictine plain chant made its way into that song in terms of the something I do every day, part of the what Kathleen Norris calls the quotidien, like the daily. Liturgy and laundry is an expression she uses, where you sort of weave in your day-to-day stuff with liturgy. And for me, it's the singing of the Psalms. There's a chant that's in D minor that a bunch of the Psalms are set to, and that there's a bunch of them. Actually, a bunch of the tones, and I lifted part of that.
Yeah.
It's part of it just because of the lament nature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a real lament in terms of the trauma and the backstory of that song, so that it just was just fit.
Talking about the Psalms is that you took a poem here that has an irregular structure.
With the structure.
You put a, well, it's not like you could, he didn't write the words himself, so he made his own structure for the song, but he had to make it fit around, so it was like a challenge, a songwriting challenge, taking these lyrics that were in place, and then he wrote an entire song to this poem. It just ties right into his song chanting, psalm chanting.
Are you you had a little monastic bent to yourself?
I don't know if I would say a monastic bent, per se.
You have a musical bent.
Do
you want to go out with a live tune or a track tune?
Oh, we've got to do some of Francis Street.
Let's do that. Let's jump right into that. And, folks, just while they're setting up for that, let me just tell you, Peter Tigelar is the guy who's been rocking our world today. If you need to find out more about him and don't know how to spell his name, you can go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and you can click on today's show and find out you can get his link right there and go right to his site. What song are we doing, Peter?
This is a song off the new record that Andrew and I really enjoy doing together. It's kind of a bluesy minor key number called Francis Street, which is a street in Hamilton.
Love it. Do it.
I'm down on Francis Street, keeping my ear to the ground. Down here, listen for any sign of the healing that's coming round. I'm here to pray for peace for all these broken and hungry ones, trapped by the tracks and factories that keep their longing and wonder down on the broken down side of town. Sausage comes in my nose. Mother puts a supper on and hopes her children are coming home. But so many of them won't. They try so hard not to feel like dirt. They're not so much looking to be scratched where it itches. They want healing for where it hurts. And they're not looking in any church. Listen close, you can hear the sound of the many streams hidden underground on the broken down side of town. Under Francis Street. Sign.
on Francis Street. Where longing and wonder keep trying to rise. And you can see it in all the coming and going, and in those sad and hungry eyes. Those eyes. Open up inside, and every heart be open wide, to the healing that's coming round, to the broken down side of town, to Francis Street.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Fantastic stuff, man. Peter Tigelaar on the Drew Marshall Show. A thrill. That was just brilliant. Thank you.
Invite us back and we'll probably come in.
Okay. All right. I'll do it for sure. Folks, you've been listening to the Drew Marshall Show. You can check us out online, drewmarshall.ca. And thanks for tuning in.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.